Okay, Rebos, here's the question. Who is the greatest, you can put it down. Who is the greatest leader in all of Jewish history?
Bernie Madoff.
Bernie Madoff.
This is on my YouTube.
Theodore Herzl.
I think Christiano.
Sandy Koufax. Yoshua. Or David Berger, who apparently was supposed to be Gary Berger.
I don't know David Berger.
What do you guys think?
I wish.
Gary?
Is one of the answers
Garble?
Herzl.
No, Darvel.
There is no such thing as breakfast.
Who's the king of got in front of the idols?
Siskiya.
That's what I said.
Your mom. He would definitely be out there. But if you asked me,
he was going to be Mashiach.
Yeah, Moshe.
You are.
Moshe.
Moshe's definitely up there.
Moshe's incredible.
No, he hit a rock that one time.
Guys, I want everyone to participate, but we also need a little bit of focus because we'll never get a new one. So to a certain extent, Yeshua is actually a much more successful leader than Moshe himself was. Moshe may have been a greater man, but if you just look at Jewish history, who is the man who succeeded in leading his generation into the land of Israel?
Yeshua.
Yeshua was the leader who led his people out of slavery.
Yeah. Rabbi, that's true. I'm not dissing on Moshe. I got no beef with Moshe.
No, Moshe literally handed it to Yeshua on a silver platter.
Not literally.
You think so?
Did all the work.
Yeah. Moshe did a lot, but Moshe was not able to actually bring the people to the land. Now let me make another point. Who is the man who had a generation which sinned over and over and over and over again?
Moshe.
And which leader led a generation that was virtually sinless and has one recorded time that they sinned?
But can you blame a leader for the sins of the nation? A lot of their sins were totally in spite of the efforts of Moshe.
That's a good point. And you're right. I'm not here to bash on Moshe. I'm actually a big Moshe fan, especially.
Prove it.
Especially the book that he wrote. It was a great book. I'm really just trying to say that Yeshua.
I like the part where he called himself humble.
Yeah. Really, my point is just to simply say that Yeshua was awesome. Okay, that's really all I wanted to say. And as you'll see, as you learn through Savior Yeshua, he was an extremely successful leader. Who really led his people to the promised land? Any comments to this point? We're good so far? Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that he's so good? All those people are just listening to him, do whatever he says. It's so easy. No wonder he's a great leader.
But the question is, how did he? A good leader is the type that people just listen to him and want to do good. What was the nature of Yeshua? What made him so awesome that he was able to bring the people into the land, conquer the land, have them virtually sinless, and basically, do everything that he told them to do? That's my question for today. And what's surprising is that when we look back at the character of Yeshua in Chumash, from the little that we know about him, it actually brings us the opposite picture of what we would have expected to have been the best, awesome leader in Jewish history. Okay, you with me? And if you don't believe me, good. We're gonna see this inside. Okay? You wanna say something now?
Yeah, I was gonna say that it's not really fair to as a comparison to say that the people under Yeshua were sinless because they had such an easier time. They weren't walking through the desert for doing nothing for 40 years. They were
seeing the promises of their parents.
They were seeing the promised land. They were constantly winning battles and conquering the promised land.
That's true, but it's still not an easy task to go out to war and risk your life and fight war after war after war after war and still maintain that heroism and that tenacity. But at the same time, I agree. I think sometimes when people have a purpose and a mission, it actually helps them. It's one of the keys to being happy. So maybe because they had such a purpose that they saw God's Hidgalut, his revelation, that helped them be so successful, Nachon. But, okay, still, I wanna kind of go into the character of Yeshua to see what made him so great and try to bring that back to our lives. Marissa, do you want to say something?
No, I'm good now.
Okay, so let's get into it. Source Aleph. Okay, these are numbers, my bad. Sefer Yeshua, by the way, this shir is heavily based on Rav Chaim Angel's analysis. He's a great teacher. Why? Okay. So, as we pointed out in Yeshua, by Avod Yisrael, Hashem, kol yimei Yeshua, all the days of Yeshua, people served Yeshua. Kol yimei hazkenim asher yarichu yamim acharei Yeshua asher yedu et kol ma'aseh Hashem asher asah Yisrael. But all the people served Yeshua. All he was extremely successful. What was his secret? So let me ask you guys: what was the first time we encountered Yeshua? What made him such a great leader? Why did Moshe know that he was the one who was going to lead the Jewish people? Yeah.
Wasn't he the one that stayed behind, like, to clean up and, like...
Awesome. So, what's Avram's stand? He was the guy that did Torah Nut, that cleaned up the base, that was sticking around and doing Torah, Avodah, right? There's only one problem with that shot. What's that?
It didn't actually happen.
That, I'm not saying it didn't actually happen, but it's not anywhere in the text. It's in the Drash of Chazal, my Rebbe's. And that's awesome, but we're not learning Chazal right now, we're learning Pshat, Super Parsha Pshat. Right? So in Pshat, there's no mention of Yeshua cleaning up the base or doing anything like that. It's an interesting question how Chazal got that, where they got that from, what educational message they were trying to imbue. But for this class, we're just focusing on the text of the Torah itself. So that would not be the right answer. Cool? Yeah.
Is that the two Maragim that didn't sin?
Interesting. So let's go back to the Maragim story in a little bit, and let's see if the Maragim story really paints Yeshua as such a successful leader. Okay, but even before the Meraglim, what else? Where else? Where's the first time we encounter Yeshua? Okay, so let's look in source number, the middle one of the page. Everybody want to read? Shmot Yedayim, Pasuket. Go for it.
Ve'yomer Moshe el Yeshua b'char lanu anashim v'tzeyim v'atem ha'malek b'char nachti nitzav al rosh ha'malek atem Elohim v'yatim.
So where's the first time we encounter Yeshua in the Torah? What's he doing? He's going to fight Amalek. Okay, which by the way, precursors what? What else will Yeshua do later in his life?
Conquer Israel.
Conquer Amalek. Conquer Israel. So it's probably pretty interesting. What's fascinating here is that this is the first time Yeshua is mentioned. With no introduction, with no background. In fact, in Dibre Yomim, it's related that Yeshua had a great Yehus. He was the grandson of Elishama ben Amihud. And yet, the Tanakh, the Torah, reads out his Yehus and simply refers to him as Yeshua, as if like we know who he is. And you can ask, why do you guys think that? Why did the Torah leave out his lineage if he has such an awesome Yehus? Yeah?
Just based on his own
stuff. Awesome. So it could be, and maybe the Torah is saying it's not based on he heard, he did it. It's not because of what his papa did. He did it himself. Who knows? But in any case, first, so we see he's a fighter. He's a warrior. That definitely gives him leadership criteria. But the next few sources actually will surprise us. Where is the second time we encounter Yeshua in Chumash? Have you want to read for us? It's Shmuel Lam and Gimel.
V'diber Hashem al Moshe panim al panim kasher yedaber ish al rehu v'shav el machaneh v'mishartzo Yeshua ben Nun nahar lo yamish mitzoch ha'olav.
So what does the Torah tell us about Yeshua?
You still asking me?
Yeah. Anybody understand what happens? How does the Torah describe Yeshua in this context? What made him such a special leader?
Where do I get water, please?
It's a great question. Fine.
Where's the sink? For the sink.
Oh, there's that water cooler downstairs.
Yeah. Anybody know what has the Torah described Yeshua here? The second time Yeshua comes up, this might be the source of what Avram was saying. He never left Moshe's side, and he was being masharet, and he was bringing water, he was bringing yogurt, sitting outside the ohel. And here again, the Torah is maybe this is an allusion to him learning, and the avodah, him going out and fighting for the Jewish people, seems like he's a perfect candidate for leadership, except. What is the first time we actually see Yeshua do something? In Shmuel Lamebet, Pasuk Zayin, anybody can guess, anybody remember, what's the first time Yeshua does something not besides war and Amalek?
Or what?
When's the first time we see Yeshua doing something?
Didn't he lead the people into battle?
Right, he led them into battle by Amalek. Besides for that, what else did he do? Yeah? Good. Not that time in Abiram, but the... What's it called? What's their name? We'll get there in a second. In any case, we have the source. Eldad Medad. Eldad Medad. Before Eldad Medad, what does he do? At the Egal Zahav, Moshe is up there on the mountain. The people are sinning. And what happens? Yeshua goes up to Moshe and says, what? Look at it inside, guys. Pasuk Zayin, Yeshua on the bed.
There's a
war going on. Another Yeshua said, hey, Moshe, they're warring, they're fighting each other. I hear noise. What's going on? Now, what was actually going on in the camp? What were the people doing?
They were worshiping
the idol. So it's interesting that in this case, what is Yehoshua? He is wrong.
A liar?
He's not a liar, he's just wrong. He just didn't know what was going on. He thought that the people
like the
were fighting, and actually they were dancing and singing. It seems like there's a kind of a disconnect between Yehoshua, between the people, and between what Yeshua thinks. In other words, Yeshua seems a little bit disconnected from the people, maybe because he's always sitting by Moshe's side and learning, he doesn't really know what's going on. In fact, if Yeshua is being primed to be such a leader, you probably would have expected him to be the one on the ground dealing with the people at Egal Azahab. But who's the one who's actually dealing with the people? Aaron and Hur. And Yeshua, in this case, is nowhere to be seen, and in fact, he's wrong.
What they killed for.
That's true, so it's kind of a good thing Yeshua wasn't involved, but it's interesting that the future leader is not involved at all with trying to deal with the situation, and he's wrong. And in fact, in the next time that we encounter Yeshua, he is again wrong. What's that? Avi already mentioned it. What's the situation?
The two guys that weren't drafted to be in the Sanhedrin start prophesizing, and he says throw him in jail.
Exactly, right, look inside. ויעלס במדבר וירד השם בענה ודבר עליו ויצא מן הרוח אשר עליו ייתן לעשות עם איש וגד put the spirit on 70 people וישארו שני אנשים במחנה השם אחד אלדר השם השם מידר תנח להם הרוח והם הבטויים and they had the spirit וירץ הנער the youth ויגד משה ויאמרת אלדר מידר מנעמים במחנה ויען יהושע בינון ושרת משה מתחורה ויאמר עדי משה כלאם משה put them in jail. What are these guys doing? They're prophesizing. And what does Moshe respond to Yeshua?
No, they were giving prophecy.
They were giving prophecy, right? You're wrong. Why are you so disconnected from what the needs of the Jewish people? How about that everyone should be prophesying? So the two times that Yeshua is trying to step up in the text, what happens to him? He is
wrong.
Which is kind of interesting, right? It makes you think twice. The final time that we encountered Yeshua, somebody already brought it up. What's the most famous time that Yeshua tries to step up in the Chumash?
The Chet of Meraglim.
The Chet of the Meraglim. Now, what do you guys think? Was Yeshua a hero or is he
a
failure, a zero, when it comes to the Meraglim?
I mean,
so,
one at a time.
Shlomo Ali first, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, he tried, but he didn't change anything. Yeah.
He tried, but it kind of failed. It didn't really work. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
So, since it didn't work, then he had such courage. Like, he, stood up when all of his friends were saying, oh, yeah, it's terrible, terrible. And he saw the giants. He said, no, it's amazing. Like, trying to put
on. You guys get the machlokas here?
He's just trying
right?
to
put Shlomo was saying he failed. Julian's saying, yeah, but he tried. At least he stepped up.
I said he tried, but he didn't do anything.
That's true.
You're right.
It was a... He said situation. Because, yeah, 10 boys... Like, no one in the nation experienced what the Meraglim experienced except for the Meraglim. So you have 10 people saying one thing and 2 people saying another. Then you're obviously going to go with the majority opinion because you just don't know. So he was set up to fail, but just having the courage to voice that alternate opinion in the first place.
Okay, so Julian Aviad have Yeshua's back. Say it wasn't his fault. He tried his best. What do you want from him? Yeah.
So I think the whole thing that makes Yehoshua like a great leader, kind of just like give the theory, is that he just did what he thought was right, as evidenced by the fact. Meaning, yes, he made that mistake when he thought like the people were fighting, but at the end of the day, that's what he thought, and he went over to report it to Moshe because that was the right thing to do. And here he just didn't really care about what the fallout of him saying the truth was going to be. He just said it anyway.
Cool.
So that was his
awesome guys. So the theory of this year is I'm not necessarily going in with a point. There is a point, but it's okay that I don't. I don't have all the answers. We're learning this together, so like, listen to your friends and like, develop your own theories, because that's the idea. The idea is not that it's just the rabbi's food needs to the end solution. So what Avram's suggesting is maybe the essence of Yeshua is that he's a guy who does what he believes in, and he's right and he's wrong, but that's the essence of him. And maybe, and as you guys learn Sefer Yeshua for the next couple of months, you can kind of see if that theory holds up in all the way that he interacts with the people. Cool. Any last comments about the Meraglim situation? I'll share my theory. In my humble opinion, Yeshua, well, he tried, and I'm not bashing, he kind of messed up. Why? Because he didn't have to let the situation get to a place where that it did. In other words, who's the first guy, first of all, who responds when the people start bashing? It's not Yeshua, it's Caleb. Caleb, interestingly, is the one who starts speaking. Yeshua, only after the people have already started weeping and crying and the people have already come in front of everyone, only then does Yeshua finally step up to the plate and start saying, no, we should do what Hashem says. But if you look carefully in Bamidbar, he waited, and the truth is, Yeshua and Caleb could have probably manufactured a situation to stop the Meraglim before they went in front of everyone and just started spewing. Maybe they could have went first and started talking, you know, positively. But they kind of waited and then kind of responded instead of being proactive. Maybe I'm being too harsh on Yeshua, but I think certainly a critique could be launched at Yeshua in the Meraglim situation, that there could have been more leadership, there could have been more stepping up. Yeah.
I feel like they didn't have any idea that those other 10 Meraglim were going to go up and say those bad things. Because their reaction was hesitant. So it could have been that they had no idea that was coming, and then they're just like, what? Like, how, why, what are you doing?
Right.
And then it took
But even then, it's interesting that Caleb is the one that steps up.
Still, you know what I mean?
There is a midrash that didn't get tripped with the fact that Yeshua is davening, and Moshe has to change his name because they're kind of suspicious, but you're right. No, good point.
Yeah.
And the Mummy start out by saying good things, and then they turn it bad, like, as they're going along. So maybe they thought, oh, they're going to say good things, and then
Okay. You're right, guys. Everything I'm saying could be argued with, but all I'm saying is that one could definitely make a case that the Yeshua, one of the greatest leaders in Jewish history, interestingly enough, in Chumash itself, seems to mess up or fail a lot. And that's pretty interesting. That itself is pretty fascinating. And I want to throw it out there, why do you think that is? What might be the idea behind this? What might be the message? By the fact that the Torah seems to be pointing out that Yeshua actually is quite flawed and not exactly the leader that we might have expected him to be in Chumash itself. Yeah.
Yeshua has done the impossible. Yeshua managed to bring in the nation that's been waiting for, 400 years into the land of Israel, something they've waited for so long. If he doesn't have any flaws, he's basically perfect. He's done everything. He's done the undoable. He's like, it's incredible. I think Torah is putting these flaws in to show that he's not some kind of person that just is more to him than just like this like an awesome accomplishment.
Awesome. Okay, did you guys hear that approach? Julian's saying, despite the fact that he's Dafka, because he was such an amazing, successful leader, the Torah wants to point out, that doesn't mean he's perfect. That doesn't mean he never messed up. You can be a great leader and still mess up, and that's okay.
Yeah, you want to tell me?
I was going to say that.
So you guys give each other kind of high five. Awesome. Okay.
But doesn't that contradict with the entire concept that we use to validate Moshe not going into the land, which is that leaders are held to higher standards and that their mistakes matter way more, and Yehoshua's mistakes were way more drastic than any mistake Moshe ever made?
I think you make a great point. I think what we'd have to do is have a whole different shiur dedicated to what was so bad about the sin of Moshe hitting the rock that merited him not coming to the land. I don't think we're going to have time to do that today. We can schmooze about it later. Person, you want to
do
that? I think that's a whole different class.
But I think surely, like, in a relative sense, and like in response to what Avi had saying, but it's also the amount, like, there was a short, for Yehoshua to have made the mistakes that he made, the sample size is a lot shorter. You can make the argument that Moshe had this much more experience, like much more breadth of knowledge as being a leader, and then he made the mistake, as opposed to Yehoshua making a rookie move.
Okay. To make that point. Okay, yeah.
sort of like what Daniel's saying. Did Yoshua make any of his mistakes when he was in the leadership position, or was it all when he was under motion?
So, right. Right now, all the things that we pointed out, he wasn't yet the leader. It was all before he was a leader, which is interesting that he gets chosen to be the leader despite the fact that it seems like he's messed up.
Part of that might be showing his learning process.
Oh, okay. So we're going to get back to that in a moment. Good. Hold that. Okay. Just wanted to point out one more interesting thing. There is a interesting Kohelet Rabbah which points out that Moshe asked, the man who can't distinguish between the 600 voices is supposed to distinguish, you know, the man who messed up, he can't even distinguish between war and idolatry, is supposed to understand all the different people and how and all their different voices. So Chazal also picked up on the fact that there's like that Yeshua doesn't seem to be perfect. And if you read carefully, it's interesting. Chazak v'amitz, right? Chazak v'amitz. Be brave, be strong. So we're right now on the third page. Yeshua. There are four times that this phrase comes up, where Yeshua is told to be brave and be strong. For the purposes of time, I'm going to just summarize that. Well, three times make a lot of sense. Moshe tells Yeshua to be brave and be strong, and God tells Yeshua several times to be brave and be strong. Chazak v'amitz. That makes sense. They're giving him encouragement, be brave, be strong. There's one time that's really, really interesting where the Jewish people themselves go over to Yeshua and they tell their leader, Yeshua, be brave, be strong. Right? They go over to him and they say, Chazak v'amitz.
One.
So look at it in Yeshua Zion, Pasuk K and Yud Aleph. Let me just find it for you.
This is the bottom of the phrase.
Yeah. No, not there, I'm sorry. And Yeshua Aleph Tet Zayin Yud Chet. V'yanu et Yeshua le'emor. And the people tell Yeshua, Kol Asher Tivadanu Na'asev, Kol Asher Tichlein Menalev. This is Chatsi Menashe and God talking to Yeshua. Ki kol ish asher yamret bicha v'lo yishmat v'racha l'chol asher titavinu yimat brach hazat amit. Everything you tell us, Yeshua, we're going to be good, do, you just be brave and be strong. You just keep doing what you're doing. Okay, that's what the people tell Yeshua. Yeah? So when you hear the people coming and encouraging Yeshua, what does that mean to you in terms of psychologically how they relate to Yeshua? I mean, we never find that by Moshe, people coming and saying, Moshe, keep on being awesome. Right? But here by Yeshua, they go over to Yeshua along with God and Moshe, and everyone says, be brave and be strong. So what does that mean? How do the people relate to Yeshua?
They like him better.
They like him better. Okay, maybe. What else?
I think more of like a one of them. Like, I think even less is like this like Moshe, like a aloof person.
Exactly. In other words, on the one hand, I think the people realize that he's got a little bit of a weaker side. That's why God and Hashem, he needs this encouragement. He's not perfect. He's kind of weak. He wasn't the first guy to step up and scream. Kalev was, right? He's kind of shy, but at the same time, they relate to him as one of them. And that's exactly the point. In fact, in the story with Ai, you guys will see this inside, Bezrat Hashem, but when the people sin by Ai, Yeshua's reaction is so polar opposite to the way that Moshe responds when the people sin. And when people sin with Moshe, what does Moshe usually do? Either Davin Hashem, or he goes on his face and says, these people, right? Sometimes he defends them, but he doesn't feel like he's one of them. He's kind of like a different entity. Whereas by Yeshua, if you look inside, Yeshua Perek Zion, but he cried in Pasuk Vav, but he cried Yeshua Simotav, he rips his clothing, and Yehovah ben Avarta, Lifnei Aron Hashem, Ad Erev, who is Ignatia, by Yalu Afra Hashem, he puts dirt on his face. Vyom Yeshua, Adonai Elohim, Lama Avarta, Avirta, Amazet, Teoden, Atetum Tan of Yadem, Mori, Labadin, why are you destroying us, Bolanu, and Hashem, Ever Yoden? We should have went back to Ever Yoden. And he goes on and on and on, where he's crying out to Hashem and saying, please Hashem, save us. Why are you doing this to us? How can you do this to us? And ultimately Hashem responds, no, this guy sinned, blah, blah, blah. But we see that Yeshua, again, relates as if he's one of the people and not different. Okay?
Isn't that more
of
a juvenile thing?
I feel
like Moses would never do something like that. He was just afraid of God and just...
You might call it juvenile, but I would call it being real. It was a real tragedy. It was a catastrophe. 36 people were dying, and he was in shock, and he went on all his knees, and he started screaming and praying to God. Maybe he wasn't as distant and mechubadu as Moshe, but it's being real. And if you ask me, that's what personifies Yeshua. The Gemara above Basra says something really interesting. It says that Moshe was compared to the sun, and Yeshua was, I think I brought it down on source page too, and Yeshua is compared to the, I'm sure you guys have heard this, to the moon. Now, what's the difference between how we relate to the sun versus how we relate to the moon?
The moon gets it from the sun.
That's true. It's a reflection, so it's not as powerful. Moshe was much more powerful than Yeshua, but you could read that midrash on another level. There's an advantage that the moon has over the sun.
You can't look at the sun.
You can't look at the sun, but you can look at the moon. Even though it's less powerful, but you can relate more to the moon. And in fact, even we know about Moshe Rabbeinu, could the people look at Moshe? No, he had to wear a mask, right? Because he was so...
radiant.
Radiant.
Is that
That's in, I brought it for you guys. Where is it? It's in here somewhere. It's definitely in here. Somebody find it and get that extra ice cream in it. Kids said we'll get back to it later, but yeah, the Torah says that he had to wear a mask. He was glowing so much that nobody could relate to him. He was like a loop. He was like a different character. But Yeshua, people could talk to him. People could relate to him. So if you ask me, point one is that Yeshua, yeah, he's imperfect, but he's relatable. He's one of the people, even Dafka, because he's a person, that's one of the reasons which makes him so successful. Okay? Reason number two, if you ask me, is that he learns from his mistakes. Right? And that, I think, as you go through the Navi, you'll have to see a lot of different examples of that. I just brought you one example, because the time is short, of Yeshua learning from the mistake from his previous mistakes. So we went back to the Meraglim story, and we said that was a big mess up. The whole story there was a big mess up. Does Yeshua send Meraglim?
Nice.
He does. But does he do it in the exact same way?
No.
No. So let's look inside. Look at... Oh, by the way, here, it's on the last page. Shmuel Karapam Dalet Pasukrana. That's Moshe's face is shining. You can carry more of an eye. You're going to get small. Okay, we're just winding down, guys. But... Look at Yeshua Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph, the second to last source. Can you guys find the difference between how Yeshua does the Meraglim versus how Moshe did the Meraglim versus how the original Meraglim went down? The last, the second
sends two people.
He only sends two people. What else? What else does Yeshua do?
Secret.
He does it secret. Right? Think about it. And that first time, the people come back instead of just going to Moshe's... secretly, they report back to
everyone,
right? And that was a dumb move, right? First go to the leader and then let him, right? I shouldn't have shared my Google Doc with all you guys first. I should first send the Google Doc to the rabbis, and then they should, you know, filter it and send it back to you guys.
That's what they're doing.
So the idea is that first you report back to the leaders, and then you go back to the people. So Yeshua learns from his mistake, and he does it quietly. What else? How else does Yeshua... fix the mistake of the original Meraglim. Similarly, by Avo El Yeshua. First they go to Yeshua secretly, quietly, and then later they come to the people. There's a lot of differences in the ways that Yeshua did the Meraglim story as opposed to the way the Meraglim went down. But the point is that yes, Yeshua messes up, but he learns from his mistakes and he takes it. And I think that also is one of the keys to why he's such an amazing leader. Yeah, he messes up, but he learns from his mistakes. Okay? Bezat Hashem, we're all gonna be awesome leaders. Right? You guys are the leaders of the Jewish people. That's why I came to Rav Avedah, Bezat Hashem. And you're also all gonna make a lot of mistakes. Probably all of us. Probably several times every day, we're gonna make mistakes. And I think one of the lessons that Yeshua is teaching us is that it's okay to make mistakes. In fact, it's good to make mistakes. That means you're a human being. That means you're relatable. It's cool to make mistakes. But the key is, when you make mistakes, what do? When you make that mistake? You learn from it. You fix your mistakes. And you don't dwell upon it. You get yourself up. You pick yourself up. And you make space.
You
right?
Win some, you learn some.
Another level, guys, I think one of the other levels of Yeshua is that, let's say you're in a chavruta. Sometimes you'll be in a chavruta. You want to kind of dominate, not purposefully, but you want to read, and you want to talk, and you want to spit it out. But it's also really important to always be asking yourself, like you guys are talking about in the norms, am I making space with, is my energy, you know, like overcoming other people? Or am I making that space so that my friends, so that my buddies, so that my mom, so that my rabbi, whatever, so that I can let them shine too. Because sometimes the best way to be a leader is to let others shine. Okay? Any other questions, thoughts, comments? All good? All right, Bezat Hashem. Yeah. Bezat Hashem, I bless us all to have an amazing year together in Torah.